All right, thank you. And I'd like to welcome everybody to the February 2023 rescheduled regular meeting and call to order with a roll call, please.
Mr. Ferguson?
Here.
Mr. Keck?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And next, if everybody would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I would now accept a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck.
Can I have a motion to amend?
You may have a motion to amend, sure.
I would like to amend, move the bus bid resolution from Superintendent HR items, it's in the doc, supplemental Superintendent other items, to Board of Education items.
Okay, we have a motion to amend the agenda. Bill, I'm going to need your help. Do we need a second for that? Okay, do we have a second? Hearing none, the motion fails. Okay, so then I would accept a roll call for the initial motion.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
No.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the Employee of the Month, Susan Alessi, Edgewood Clinic Aide, as Classified Employee of the Month.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage?
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Diane?
Thank you. Well, Susan isn't here this evening, but it's my pleasure to read the statements from her peers in which she was nominated. So if you're not aware that Susan is a aide for us in the clinic at Edgewood Elementary School, and so her nominations include the following comments. The staff and students love Nurse Susan at Edgewood. She goes above and beyond to build relationships with students in our building. She helps everyone feel safe and supported. Susan is an amazing team player and is always willing to jump in and help wherever needed. She is so kind and gentle with the students that come into the clinic. I am so thankful for Susan being a part of the Edgewood office team. So congratulations to Susan and everything she does for the students at Edgewood. And staff.
Yes. And now can we have a roll call to make this official?
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. One more round of applause for Susan. Next time we see her, we'll have to thank her. So. Next, I don't think we have any public participation sign-ups. I'm aware of, unless, yep. Then, I know. Next up, Mrs. Wells, presentation from Northwood. Hope you're having a good day.
Okay, there we go. All right, so thank you for having me here to tell you a little bit about what Northwood has been up to this year so far. So we started out the year and actually through the summer doing our vision and the one-page presentation that all of the schools have been involved in. So we had our four areas that we were working into, and we had five goals listed under that. So the staff helped create the vision and then those goals as well. So the first area was future readiness, and we said we were going to really increase or get back to where we were with personalized learning. We had slowed down with COVID, but we are really getting back and actually learned some things from COVID that we are now using within the personalized learning. We also then have each child working with engaged in educational opportunities to look at their passions, their hobbies, their careers. So we have our passion fair coming up. If you see in the picture there, you might know one of those people there that is sitting here. And then we also do our dream teams again, which we have K through 4 students divided into 44 groups. And really the third and fourth graders kind of mentor the K-1 students, and they meet and we do activities. And this year the activities are centered around careers. And then I've also been doing a number of read-alouds, and I go to every classroom and read a book to the students, and we talk about whatever that topic is. So again, for the younger kids, it's been careers, and for some of the older kids, we've been talking about community projects, and I'm coming up and I kind of challenge them to come up with a community project for to help support different areas. So the fourth graders did a hot chocolate sale in December, and they ran the whole thing and delivered the hot chocolate and did everything and sold things, and that is going, I believe they decided, because there's some difference of opinion, so the kids had to vote, and they went to the Hope Center, and then our third graders are going to be doing their post office in March, and they hire a postmaster general. They hire the people that are going to make the stamps, and they sell the stamps at lunch, and they do the whole process, and they are still deciding where that money will go to. So those are a couple of big community projects that each of those grade levels have done. Okay. The next one is literacy, and we really wanted to work on providing students more opportunities with PA, phonemic awareness, and phonics, and kind of increasing those skills. So our goal really is to decrease the number of students who are one or more grade level below. So we've done this through our reading specialists and our coaches, and they went to every classroom K through 3, and they modeled lessons. They've created slideshows. They've created lessons for the teachers to use. So now it's a K through 3 initiative, and we have seen great jumps. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see this was from window 1 in reading to window 2. And so it's always good if you have more green and less red the next one down. So we are making that progress. They went from, like I said, 79% in PA to 84% in the green. So we're really happy and excited that we see that. And even our students who are the higher level readers have benefited this, because they get to a book that has those higher level words and they don't know how to really break them down. So we're giving them those skills that they may not have normally had. Next comes math, was our next goal. And so for math, we wanted to increase our number talks and that number sense, so that students aren't just going through the algorithms, but rather really learning how to manipulate numbers. So we had a big jump in, we looked at the numbers and operations. That's really where it all falls. And we had 23% were in the green when we started the year, and now we're at 44%. And we also had 17% a decrease to 8%. So we've made big gains. We've actually made gains across all the four areas. So again, we're excited and we feel like we're going in the right direction with this. And then the final one was wellness. And really this was getting back to some of the things that we've done before. So we're doing those community projects again, my good news calls where I call a parent and say, yep, guess what, this is for a good thing. And the parents are like, oh, okay. So that is a much appreciated call. We're also doing our celebrations of learning, and what we found is because we have so many students at our school, it's hard to get 600 kids into our auditorium. So this year we did the celebrations of learning by grade level, and they invite just the parents. And we've actually had a better turnout with parents coming in and seeing it. The kids enjoy performing for their parents. I know we've done third and fourth and second so far. And the first graders are going to be doing theirs like next month, and they're going to do their market day. They do that marketing where they create their own stores and everything, so they're going to use that as their presentation to the parents. So teachers have gotten creative, and the parents have had a chance to come into the building and see their children in action. We also do a lot of tutoring with our third and fourth graders. So every morning I see about 25 kids walking down from our 3-4 hall, going down to K-1-2, and the kids are all out in the hallway and reading to each other, and some of them are doing math facts and sight words and heart words, so we're trying to help build those relationships as well. And so all of this, I think, is better said in my video. This is kind of what we do at Northwood. It'll be, the sound's a little off, we're trying to figure it out, but hopefully you can hear the teachers doing the number talks and the phonics lessons. So.
Double in half. Okay, so tell us how you doubled in half.
You do have a link to that presentation in the agenda, so sorry that doesn't work.
While they're working on that, I just had a quick question about the time frame, like when you have the window one.
So we did, the window one was at the very beginning of the year. So that was within the first probably 3 to 4 weeks of school. Gotcha. And then window two, we just got done, and it was in December. Most of them were in December, some into January. Right. And then we have our last one that we'll do right before. It'll be the end of April, beginning of May.
Okay.
And then it also falls with our MTSS that we do with our students.
Great, thank you.
All right, that's all I have for this evening. So you have any questions?
Any questions?
I just got a comment. I know that the Passion Fair is coming up, and I had a great time last couple of times that I was able to be mm-hmm. there, and I'm looking forward. It's about a month from now, and I would encourage anybody on the board that has an opportunity to stop by and look and see. It's a great event where the kids are exposed to a lot of different types of activities and skills and potential hobbies and so forth. So it really is a very, very nice thing. And I know Amy Oslinier puts a lot of time and effort into it. So
it's March 24th, so if anybody's available that morning or that afternoon or all day, we appreciate that, but really just stopping by and seeing it in action is a little, you really have to see it, but we even have some high school students coming over and talking about some of their classes and their passions that they do. This year we've had that, Mark Gallagher's coming to show, to talk about the telescope he made. So we have a wide range of things that they can learn about and find out about. So it's always a big event for us.
I just wanted to say thank you for a couple things. First, the celebration of learning. Anything we can do to get parents into the school to be able to see kind of what's going on, I think that means a lot to the community as a whole. So I really appreciate you guys doing that. And the third and fourth graders tutoring their, you know, K-2 buddies. I think that's a great way of building relationships across the school, and you know, you're at about 600 kids, I think. And, I mean, that's a very big school compared to a lot of elementary schools. So I just really appreciate that kind of cross-grade, get to know each other activity.
Thank you. It has really taken off, and the reading specialists have kind of formed it and got it working, and I'm very proud of the work that the fourth graders do. And every day, I mean, they walk down there and they've got their bags of what they work with and very specific, and it's also a good opportunity for students who don't have a parent that may be able to read to them at home. This is their opportunity, so they get their reading time in that helps them for some other things and other incentives we have. So.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I'm very glad to hear about the good news calls, kind of making sure we're very intentional about, hey, you know, here's some positive news. I think that goes a long way for when you need the if you need to do a bad call. It's definitely nice to hear something positive from the students. And then Celebration of Learning, I echo what Nan said. Anytime you get people to see what their students are learning inside the building, it's very nice, and it goes a long way with just establishing those trusting relationships with our parents. With the math, I do have a question. I know math, what are some, how are we using the iReady data to kind of, right now, some of these numbers appears that there's still a significant portion of students who are behind, or not, they're at 44%, right? So what are the strategies that are being in place using the data to, as the year, in the second half of the year, to bring those numbers up?
All right, so that's where the teachers then, that's part of their charge that they have, is that they then use that information and then guide the lesson path for the students. So a student who may be struggling, let's say, in numbers and operations, but they may as a whole class be really working more on some other areas, geometry maybe. Mm-hmm. They may still, while they may get what we call blue lessons sent to them that they will work on and that matches with what they're working in class, they will also get lessons for their path so that they know that they're doing. And then after they've taken them, if they're achieving mastery on those lessons, then they'll get some kind of a mastery assessment, or maybe they'll show the teacher, they'll just show the teacher they can do it versus doing a paper pencil kind of thing. If they're struggling, the teacher then pulls in small groups. So you have a lot more pulling of small groups in that than you ever really saw before. Part of that is our personalized learning, bringing it back and being able to work with a small group and on specific things and see where they're struggling. This is what we're going to work on. Now we can support you on that. So
thank you. Mm-hmm. And just to finish, I also appreciate the fourth grade reading peer groups. I think that really builds your school culture, and they can find some leaders that my son calls their fourth grade leaders in the building. So I think that's a nice thing to have. So thank you very much for your presentation.
Yep. Thank you, Mrs. Wells. And I think the dream teams kind of fit in with all that other stuff too, because I think those dream teams are a grouping across the grade levels, correct?
Yes, so across the grade level, and they stay the same. So so the fourth graders leave,
yeah.
And new kindergartners come in, but they stay as the same base group. Now when we get new students, then we just kind of fit them in, but they're that same group. So it's kind of interesting because some of the younger kids, I've had them, you know, since they're in kindergarten, and I've seen them move on, and they're like, you're my dream team teacher, and they'll know some of the older, some of the older grade level teachers. So it's kind of neat, I didn't realize it was so important that we have our fourth graders and our third graders go down and pick up the kindergarten and first graders. So I just kind of picked some kids in there. One little girl wrote me a letter last year that said, I have been waiting since I got in fourth grade to be able to be one of the people that go down. And so was able to do that. I didn't realize it was that important, but it's something that has stuck with them, yes.
Yeah, and I just also want to comment about the number talks. I like numbers, and mm-hmm. I love hearing the people talk about how they figured out a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so impactful when you're sitting there in a group and every kid can hear mm-hmm. how somebody else came up with that solution. And that's what a great way to learn about numbers. So
yeah,
glad you're doing that.
On that, because I've had the opportunity to see a number of number talks, and it just always blows me away that the kids come up with completely different ways to do things than I would ever expect. And I appreciate how that kind of thinking applies to, you know, all the activities that the kids will be in, and it will put them in great stead in their future. When they confront an issue, they're not going to be locked into only one way to start thinking about the problem. They're going to be looking more expansively and looking for a variety of different solutions. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a highlight in our day for watching the kids. And I will say that Carrie Faust, who we watched in the first part of the clip, she's come here to Bunsholt and done some PD for the math teachers, too, for them to see it. And their first response was, well, my kids can't do that. And then we said, oh, yeah, they can, because these are third graders. Your kids can do this, too. So we're hoping it kind of carries up, because it is a different way of thinking, and it's allowing you to go beyond being just good at math. But yeah.
Great. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Thanks again. Appreciate that. All right, next for our Ohio High Point report, I had communicated a little bit with Mr. Cox, and he said they had a meeting last night. If there was anything that he thought was really necessary for this meeting tonight, he would share it, but otherwise we'll probably just get an update at some point, so no update right now from him. So we'll move on to the superintendent's report.
All right, I just have a couple of things. First of all, I wanted to make sure that I reminded everyone that March 2nd at the high school, we will be hosting the State of the City for the city, I guess, of Marysville. So we will start with a student activities fair in the Commons area, or Alumni Hall area, where different activities from our pathways at the high school level to recycling programs at our elementaries will all have a table set up, a demonstration table, and be able to talk to people coming in to the fair about some of the things they're doing in their schools. The program will actually start with the city around between 6 and 6:30, there will be music, and then the program will begin at 6:30. So you're all welcome to attend. We'd invite parents to attend and hear about the developments across our city, and also recognize and see some of our students highlighted as a part of that. There will be some student interviews who are doing internships with their mentors on stage as well, just kind of discussing the importance of workforce development and how the school and community partners need to work together right now, as we see some pretty significant gaps in our workforce. So excited to host that. Also wanted to let you know that we, or remind you that we did start our expanded preschool class at Navin. They couldn't be cuter coming in the door. And there are some openings still in the afternoon for peers, but there are currently 16 students attending that as well. Construction update. Demolition continues at Chestnut, and plumbing is being installed at Edgewood, and ceiling work has begun there as well. Substantial completion for Edgewood with partial occupancy remains mid-May. There were some procurement issues with wood doors, which has kind of pushed back our anticipation for full occupancy to probably the June time frame. So things are progressing nicely. At the Chestnut building, substantial completion is currently projected for September. As you know, the HVAC system had been postponed. It's now moved back up a little bit for an arrival time that would allow us to potentially be complete in September. So good news on that front. Our enrollment currently is 5,529 students, an increase of 112 students from this time last year. I would also like just to take a couple seconds, I guess, and note two outstanding accomplishments. I think there are so many things to be proud of in our district, but two really substantial, and I think I sent all of you a communication, but yesterday, Sophia was able to finish second in the state in diving, and there was only a margin of 0.9 between the leader, and so I just think that's pretty amazing, and something worthy of remembrance and celebration for sure. So, and also we have a national merit finalist that is among the top 1% of academic accomplishments across the nation, if you think of it in that margin, and that's Will Mason from the Early College High School. So we'll celebrate them at another meeting, but I think it's important. There's certainly a high level of excellence associated with both of those. Thank you.
That's great news. Awesome. Yes. Any questions for Diane about our report? Nope. Okay, Treasurer's report, Todd.
Okay, for my report, I just wanted to give you a quick update on some state funding items. It's kind of been in the news a little bit lately since the governor put out his first version of the state budget. I'll just give a little disclaimer. Any numbers I'm about to say will change, almost certainly, because the budget proposal will go through multiple iterations as it goes through the House and the Senate. But at the same time, it does give us a little bit of a, you know, window into what it might look like. So they actually just came out with simulations today based on the governor's proposal. So with what they are proposing, the funding we would receive next year would be an increase of $474,000. It's worth noting that of that increase, about $306,000 of that is the proposed SRO funding, the school resource officer funding that the governor has put into his budget. So, I mean, yes, we would be very happy to receive school resource officer funding, but at the same time, if you take that into account, we would only be getting $170,000 of additional unrestricted funding. So really not a big increase. And then the numbers for fiscal year 25 would actually be a decrease of $628,000 compared to what we would be receiving in fiscal year 24. Now, not setting off any alarms, because those numbers will change, certainly. One of the main drivers as to why we're seeing that decrease, at least my understanding of it, is we had the triennial update, and so valuations across the district went up on average of 25%. So in fiscal year 25 of this simulation, they're taking those numbers into account, which makes Marysville schools look significantly more wealthy. From a taxpayer standpoint, that local tax effort we've talked about. So that's harming our per pupil funding from the state. But again, what this doesn't take into account is student growth. So that would likely increase those numbers a little bit. So hopefully we wouldn't lose the full 600,000. But at the same time, no matter how you slice it, if we were hoping that the state would save us from the need for a levy or something like that, at least for what we've seen so far, that is not promising. Another factor that we're hopeful would change. So I mentioned that within that state funding formula, they're updating some of those factors. So for instance, they're using our newer property valuations, which makes us look richer. So far in this formula, they're still using, from the base cost factors, they're still using 2018 numbers. So we're basically saying, we're gonna fund you based on what it costs to educate a student back in 2018, but we're gonna assume all these other factors are up to date. So that's something that we hope changes as it goes through the legislature. And then the other, I would say, maybe more concerning piece of legislation that's out there, and I guess hopefully this doesn't come to fruition, but there's a bill out there known as House Bill 1. Kind of the short and sweet of House Bill 1 is they're looking to make a cut in the state income tax, which I don't think anybody would argue with that. But to make up for the funding that would, the state funding that would be lost by that cut in state income tax, they're looking to take money away from schools to make up for the loss in funding. And the way they want to do that, without getting into the weeds too much, is to basically get rid of the homestead, rollback, real estate tax rollback reimbursement that all schools get from the state. So for Marysville schools, that would equate to a little over $3 million, or the equivalent of close to 3 mils. So definitely something that people need to be aware of that is being discussed. And again, something we definitely don't want to pass.
Isn't that another nuance of that, changing the effective calculation as well?
Yeah, I was trying to stay out of the weeds, but I'll go into the weeds. That's okay. So
it stuck out to me as well as a potential problem.
So the idea of getting rid of that rollback reimbursement is, so for instance, 10% of the taxes that you pay to the schools, 10% of that is actually covered by the state, so that you're kind of getting a 10% discount. So if they're to get rid of that reimbursement, What that means is, as a taxpayer, your taxes would go up. But to offset that so that those taxes wouldn't go up, what they're proposing to do is to change the factor that is calculated to determine the assessed value of a home. So right now you take the market value of your home times 35%, and that's the value that you're paying taxes off of. They're proposing to change that from 35 down to 31.5, I believe. So that way you would be paying taxes on a lower value of your home, therefore offsetting that increase in taxes you would have received by the rollback being done away with. But unfortunately, again, that's totally coming off of the backs of school districts, because by dropping that percentage from 35 to 31.5, that's the amount that schools will lose.
Thanks for that uplifting information.
Yeah, sorry. I'll just end. There is school funding for SROs, so I'll just go back to the good news piece of it.
Thank you. Okay, any questions or anything? Okay. Let's see, for my report, community coffees. Since our last meeting, we added some opportunities at McDonald's. Thanks to Jermaine, thank you for setting that up. You know, it's just always nice to have people reach out to us with their questions and concerns, and so we can get them direct to the right people. You know, sometimes we can help clear up some misinformation, and so anyways, it's just a nice opportunity, and wanted to point out that we've added several additional opportunities in March as well, so check our website, and I know we send out email reminders as well. Also, just real quickly, I know we had a couple emails about our COG. You know, we belong to this COG, that's the partnership with the city and the county. And the school district, and the main focus of the COG has been the fiber network, and so there had been some talks about a partnership to potentially provide some commercial internet opportunities, and the city had a special meeting on that. I don't really see any reason for us to need a special meeting, but I did bring a handout from that event. If anybody is interested in it, I can share it with you. Again, it's mainly just opportunities for businesses in Marysville at some point to hook up. So I guess Tom Powers has been actively involved in this. So if anybody would have questions, should they just reach out to Tom with them? Yeah. Okay. So wanted to give you an update on that. And then also, we've talked about this pretty much every month. We all know we've revised our evaluation process. We've had two informal evaluation process of Diana Todd. We've had two informal conversations. Last month I said something about doing another one the end of February and late April. How does everybody feel about just doing one in mid-March, followed up with a final one in June or July? Does anybody have any big issues with not? I mean, we know we can always go in and talk if we want to, but I just thought things are going to be pretty hectic this spring.
I think that's fine. Okay. I always forget, once you get to March 1st, the amount of events that come up for the schools is just kind of mind-blowing.
Yes.
So if we just set one and then do the final evaluation, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Mid-March is good.
Okay. And like I said, you can always call and schedule a separate meeting as well. So, okay, so we'll work on that. And then I'd also like to schedule a special meeting for the board, a work session in March to review our work plan. You know, this last year we added that part to our work plan of recognition. We talked about volunteers, donors, and businesses. Bill and I are heading that up. We met with Mr. Holdren, and after several discussions, decided that maybe we should start with just businesses. Like, doing everything seemed a little overwhelming, but we also felt like we could be involved in volunteer recognition at the building level. When they have their volunteer programs, just let us know. We can go there and, you know, make sure that our volunteers know how much we appreciate them as well. So I'd like to have that be one of the topics of our work session. And then there's a couple of other comments and some suggestions that have come up recently, possible policy update, and also parameters for including and excluding items in our consent agenda. So thought we could just kind of use that as an opportunity to review some processes. So kind of looking at maybe that week after our regular meeting in March. So check your calendars, and I'll reach out later about that. That's it for my report. Ms. Savage, student achievement.
Okay, before I move on to student achievement, I just wanted to just leave a little comment, and hopefully for the public, regarding community coffees. A couple people that we've talked to seem to have a little bit of a misunderstanding that it's a large group community coffee, and they're kind of surprised when they find out it's pretty much a one-on-one where an individual person will speak to the board members, and then the next person will speak to the board members. So some people seem to be kind of intimidated to come, expecting that it would be a large group of people. It's really a one-on-one conversation. So I encourage people to come and talk to a board member and not feel like you're going to be speaking in front of a large group, because that's not the case. Okay, on to student achievement. So I've forwarded the student achievement network to you. A couple things that I wanted to point out. The newsletter talked about Ohio Career Center to expand aviation program, which I thought was kind of timely. Have we formally announced
that? Working on our aviation program as well.
Okay. So at first I thought it was a program.
Well, we're hoping to partner with Ohio High Point and get that kicked off, but we have some steps to do, I think, before we're ready to say it's in for next year.
Okay, great. And then there's also an article regarding an AP test prep application. So students are very connected to their phones, and that might be the best way of communicating with them. So an app that quizzes you on AP type questions might be a good preparation tool. So it's kind of interesting. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions for Nan? All right, next, let's see, do we have a safety report, Mr. Ferguson?
Yes, so the Drug-Free Coalition met on Tuesday. This Tuesday, we did a strategic planning session for the direction of the coalition. The coalition is now its own independent 501c3, so that's good. So we're looking at how we're going to sustain it, but also how do we measure success and the impact of the proactive and prevention education. So it was a 4-hour, 5-hour session. Myself and Mr. Holdren was in attendance, and so it was a pretty good to see all the members of the community, and actually some of our SRO was there as well. So there's a lot of representation from the district there. Some things that meeting kicked off from my thinking is trying to get good data. I know we have the OES survey, that's kind of an opt-in, but we also, something I'm curious of is seeing what's the data, what's the environmental scan in our schools as far as substance issues or paraphernalia, and having that report to kind of see how many incidences happen in a year to see if we're making an impact, and then when students do have an infraction, how can we educate them and then turn them into prevention ambassadors. And so that's kind of where my mind was at right now, as far as how do we as a district contribute to the success of healthy families in Union County. So that was a good strategic planning session, and hopefully we'll have positive results moving forward.
Good. I'm thinking last year, I know we were going to have some students do a presentation, but then the timing, we just got off and everything. So is that?
They have a video, and maybe that would be a little bit appropriate to send out. Maybe I can reach out. They have the TPLA students. Okay. Did a video that was presented to today. So maybe we can get that link shared. If the students want to present, if we have time. Last year we didn't have time.
Right.
Around this time frame, so I can at least get that video and send it to the board.
Okay, that might be a good compromise. Yep. Great, thank you. And I apologize, Mr. Smith. I have the wrong order on one sheet, so this should have been the legislative report.
No apology needed.
Okay, sorry. Thank you, Mr. Ferguson. Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
Hopefully all of you received my report. The Ohio House has organized its committees about 2 weeks ago, and so bills have been introduced. I did not include House Bill in my report because I didn't understand it. And so I really appreciate Todd laying that out for us. I met with Representative Richardson, and we had a very good and I thought very positive meeting. The budget was the focus, and she is very much in favor of implementation of the Fair School Funding Plan. She also expressed support for vouchers, and she hopes that there will be a way to work out adequate funding, full funding for schools, and at the same time provide, from her perspective, an option for parents. I included some information on bills. See if I can get this. Senate Bill 1, which would restructure the Department of Education. OSBA has not testified on this, but from what I understand, their real concern is the rulemaking and policy developing processes that take place. Right now, the Department of Education, in the procedures that they follow, allow for input from teachers and parents and school districts, administrators, from a lot of different sources. And there is no guarantee that if this new Department of Education was created under the governor, that that kind of input into educational policy would be available. Senate Bill 11 deals with increased funding for vouchers, and Senate Bill 29 has to do with student information protection and use of technology, third-party access to information, as I understand it. I was asked, I'm sharing with you, that I was asked to be a member of OSBA's Federal Legislative Advocacy Group. OSBA left the National School Board Association and joined the, and I still haven't gotten the name down, the Consortium of State School Board Associations, COSBA. And they are going to have their first federal advocacy in September. By my being selected and joining this group, I'll be expected to go to D.C. and meet with our congressmen and our senators and discuss issues on a federal level. In those efforts in the past, I think we've been able to influence special education funding, and I think, and this kind of my perspective, I think we laid the groundwork for some of the actions that the federal government took during the pandemic. The funding that came tended to address the instructional problems and issues and some of the operating costs and so forth. And so hopefully some of that information exchange that takes place in Washington helped to create a mindset in some of the representatives and senators that allowed that to be funded. And it was funding that allowed us to take care of our students. It also allowed us to push our levy request out a little bit further too. So a number of benefits from that funding. So, and that's my report.
Great, thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Smith? Okay, let's see. Next, I would accept a motion to approve draft minutes from our January 19th regular meeting and our January 20th special meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second
by Mr. Kett. Any comments, corrections of the minutes? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes, motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the resolutions to file complaints against the valuation of real property for tax year 2022.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Todd?
Yeah, so this is something new that us, or really any school board in Ohio, has had to do, because in the past this was just done without school board approval. So there was a change in law that then, I think, in essence, it was to make Ohio more business friendly, I think was really the essence behind the law. So that made it so these types of challenges now require board approval, and then it also put limits on when you could actually do the challenges. So in the past, in essence, when there was a sale of a business, and the sale price was higher than the current market value of the property, we would in essence challenge that sale, and you know, basically try to get the value up to what the sale price was, and really without any stipulation on amounts, unless it was just a very very minor amount. With this new legislation, we only are allowed to challenge properties when the sale price of the property is $500,000 and 10% above the county auditor value. So the properties that we have on the agenda today are properties that meet those criteria. And then you would see that if we were successful with these challenges, it would add an additional $428,000 of real estate tax revenue to the district. And what this resolution is doing is, in essence, giving me the authority to send those notices to those properties, and in essence, authority to challenge the values.
Okay. Any questions or comments? True.
Yeah. One thing. I believe that fair market value in state law is what a willing buyer will pay and what a willing seller will accept. The property is not distressed, and neither are under any limitations. And so does our school district do anything in terms of setting the values that are involved in these challenges or in this process?
No, absolutely not. You know, we're just looking at what the sale price was as compared to the market value. It's really just logical that, you know, what somebody is willing to pay for a property is what the property is worth. So that's kind of what we go with. There are some cases where it ends up, maybe an appraisal may have to be done or something like that.
Now, if someone makes a purchase and they want to challenge the value, what body do they take their challenge to?
That body is the BOR. I don't know the exact makeup of it off the top of my head, but there's multiple county officials on there. I believe the county auditor is part of that. So it's a board that hears those cases.
Okay, and does the school district, do they sit on this board?
They do not.
Okay, thank you.
So really that fair market value is what's on the auditor's website?
Correct.
Right, so they're the auditor is the one who establishes that, right?
Yeah, and I notice, we're talking considerable differences between the previous fair market value, which was an earlier sale, and the current fair market value. They go anywhere from about $1.3 million higher to $9.7 million higher. And so the amounts of money we're talking about, what someone paid for the property, was considerably more than what the previous sale was.
Okay, and
I went ahead and looked up all the addresses because I want to know exactly what the properties we were talking about. And these are all commercial properties. None of these are residential properties. And it's properties where they've bought properties and made major improvements, or they've sold at significantly higher prices. So the benefit to the school district is pretty substantial. So I really feel that this is due diligence on the part of the school district to make sure that we're getting our commercial taxes as we should be.
And I would also note, it's not just a financial benefit to the school district. I mean, this benefits all of our taxpayers, because if you have some entities out there that aren't quite paying their fair share because they're not paying, you know, we're paying the market, you know, we're paying taxes based on our actual market value. If you've got an entity out there that's not, then that difference is made up as it's spread out all over other taxpayers in the district. So getting them to pay their fair share, helps it so that all of us don't have our taxes increased, even if just by a minor amount.
Great. Yeah, sure.
Can you describe the process that of these properties being selected? How did we arrive to this list?
It's a simple list of sales. So looking at those sale prices and then comparing it to the market value.
Who looks at the sale prices?
Our attorney.
And they present this, and beforehand, what was the process like before the legislation was in place? Did the attorney bring any correspondence to the school board to let them know that these are going to be challenged?
No, it was only to me.
Only to you, okay. So I think that's an improvement. I know sometimes legislation like passes out of the State House, but this provides an opportunity for the board to know which properties are being reviewed, and I think that's good. Also, part of the legislation requires that these property owners have a 7-day notice before this meeting tonight. So, do we know that we've met that requirement?
Yes.
We have met that requirement. So it also provides another opportunity for those property owners to come and explain or bring in any information that could enlighten us, right, before the Board of Revision hearing. So that's an additional hearing for the property owner, and I think that's a good step. I forgot to ask this question, but I know we're looking at an increase of $428K. What's the cost for the attorney to do this process?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I mean, we get a letter each year that shows the dollar amount that we've gained from doing the appraisals or the challenges versus the cost, and it's usually, I think usually a gain of like $14 gained for $1 spent. So it's
a good return.
Pretty good return. And I would guess now that with the new parameters, the cost is going to be less because there's not as many.
While there are benefits to, for instance, I think it is good that there's maybe the notice given to the taxpayers a little ahead of time, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, which is a good, but this bill is not good for schools.
Mm-hmm.
This really lowers the accountability that is in place for property values. And then not only that, it also decreases the number of entities that we're able to challenge. There's no reason that in the past that we could have had board approval for these things, but the reason that we, at least in my opinion, that the most boards wouldn't have done that is this was just done across the board to be fair. We didn't want to cherry pick and say, well, let's pick this property and, oh, well, we know this person, so we won't do that. It was just done just off of the numbers. You know, sale price, market price meets the criteria. Okay, so we're going to challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, thank you. Thank you for this information. If there aren't any more questions, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now I'd accept a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Todd?
I really don't have anything to add. It's just the usual items, unless there's any questions.
Right. Yep. I don't think so. You got any notes? Yep. Nope. No questions, and roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And last, I would accept a motion to approve these superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Diane, you've got a lot of things to go over here.
I thought I would just highlight things that aren't typical. How's that? I wanted to note, last month we had the opportunity to have the hearing for retiree hire for Mrs. Lewis, Mrs. Lentz, and Mrs. Wells. Mm-hmm. So this month there would actually be on for that action to retire and then be hired back. As we talked last month, this comes at a significant savings for the district, but more importantly, it brings experienced principals back that are well-established in our community. I'd also like to point out we have several retirements from some individuals who have spent quite amount of time here in the district. Teresa Schuler with 23 years of service as a special education aide. Tammy Ryan with 26 years of service as a special ed aide. Karen Collins with 19 years of service as an interpreter. Deborah Beanie with 23 years of service as a health consultant. So we definitely want to wish them all the best in the next journey of their life and appreciate their service to our kids and community. We also have a transportation resolution, which we typically get around this time of year in preparation. We have an extension of our church lease. We also have Ohio High School membership on. It's always annually about this time of year to ensure that we're still aligned with their requirements. And then we also have two trips I thought I would point out. We have BPA trip and our DC trip for the middle school next year. Everything else, I know there were some early grads. As you know, those students all have a plan that's done with the counselor and parent and other things that are pretty typical on my part.
All right, great. Questions, comments?
I had an opportunity during my teaching career to retire and rehire, and that I really appreciated the school, Marysville District, doing that. It is a win-win. For the individuals that are able to take advantage of this. The school district, in this case, is getting three of the finest administrators that I've ever known. And I hope that they continue their work with this district for many, many more years. maybe at least many.
I just wanted to express our appreciation to the all the people retiring. I mean, that's a lot of years of service walking out the door. It's a lot of years of caring for a lot of different students. So we really, really appreciate everything that they've done over the past. I don't add it up. It's over 100 years, I'd say.
I know, when I saw those names, I was just like, oh, man. You know, I kept reading, like, another one? Oh, no. Yeah, but yes, we do. We greatly appreciate them. Let's see. What else is on there? Oh, yeah, the second read policies are on there, too.
Yeah, on that. I checked with Jonathan today. Both of those policies are a result of change in federal law.
Right. Yep. Other questions, comments?
I have a question.
Sure.
You mentioned there's a transportation resolution. Can you, what's involved with the transportation resolution?
The purchase of a bus and three vans.
Okay.
I think I may pull that up.
I believe that's true. So I'm really in a bind here. I try to get out of the bind several times, and I'm still in this bind. We have a consent agenda with various items. We have HR items, we have retiree hires, we have approval of volunteers, we have board policies, which is something we actually get to do as a board. We have rent, you know, overnight trips, and then we have a transportation. I have concerns with the transportation. When I say concerns, I just need more information. I'm trying to get more information. And so I'm in a bind because I'm not ready to take action on the transportation resolution. But if I vote no, I vote no to everything. And that's not true to what my vote is. I think fundamentally, when we spend taxpayer dollars, we should be able to have a vote, a singular vote on that resolution. Questions that I have that I've sent over, and I don't have all of the responses yet. Questions are these the passenger vans to replace or add to the fleet? I want to understand a general sense of how many routes do we run daily? Have the number of routes increased in the last 3 years? How many riders do we currently have? And how has the ridership changed in the last 3 years? What are projected needs for the next 5 years? Are there specific vehicles that are targeted, like, you know, a certain bus number that's targeted for replacement? And will we have to expand the fleet due to increased enrollment? An important question for me is, what's the methodology used to identify vehicles nearing the end of life and when we need to replace those? How many vehicles in our fleet are considered eco-friendly? And what is our long-term plan to transition our fleet to a zero or low-emission vehicle fleet? These are things that we're going to have to wrestle with, maybe not me, but the board, the future board in the coming years are going to have to start being very targeted about.
I know that a lot of these questions have been asked over the last couple of days, and I know that some of this information is being gathered as a result of some of those questions. And you know, your comments about the consent agenda, that's why I want to put that on the special meeting stuff. But just that reminder that we have been approving these. It's kind of like an annual approval thing to replace buses. And when we've done our building visits and stuff, I mean, the transportation director, bus drivers, et cetera, there've just been lots of comments about the process that is in place now to ensure that we have safe vehicles and those kinds of things. So, you know, I understand you have some questions, but yeah, yes, you may continue. So
thank
you. I just want you to point some things out there for you.
I was still in the middle of presentation of explain my position.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make it clear, like, when you say you have concerns, it sounds like you have some questions. You know, when you say you have concerns, it sounds like you feel like things aren't being done right, and I just want to clarify the difference between that statement.
Thank you for clarifying my words.
Any other questions or comments? No? Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. We need to discuss the makeup of our agenda and so forth, but almost every single treasure item, every single superintendent item involves money of some kind. And I know there was a comment that when we spend money, that we should vote on that separately. And I appreciate that. I feel comfortable with the bus bid resolution that is before us today, because I know that we have worked hard over the last number of years to make sure that our school buses are 10 years old or younger, and if they are over 10, that they're a sub bus or a extra activity bus and in good shape. And we also trade in some of the buses, and we receive some money in and I remember reading something, and I was looking for it, and I don't know whether it came from Diane or Todd, that originally the plan was to get two buses, but that the plan was changed because some of the vans that we had were becoming questionable, I guess is the best way to put that.
Well, and I would also add to that, part of the issue is a driver shortage, which we've been talking about for the last, I don't know, probably 2 years. So the idea of, you know, we were originally going to buy two buses and two vans, but it doesn't really make much sense to have an extra bus when we don't have somebody to drive it, because you have to have a CDL to drive a bus. So this new plan, one bus, three vans, the one bus is a trade-in, so we're going to be trading in an old bus, buying the new bus. The three vans are three new vehicles, but the benefit of having those three vans is it gives flexibility. We have a growing special ed population that requires special transportation. These particular vans don't require a CDL to drive, so that also gives flexibility as to who would be able to drive it. When you have extracurricular events, you could use these smaller vehicles that would be more efficient and save money. And not only that, I mean, we're saving significant money with this one bus versus three vans compared to the original resolution, so we felt like it was a win-win.
Okay, and I'm willing to have conversation about the questions that Jermaine has raised. I think those need to be addressed. I just wanted to make sure that people knew that I was comfortable in casting my vote tonight on the bus resolution. Because of, for me, it's a matter of staying on schedule to make sure that student safety is taken care of. And there certainly may be some areas for question, but at this time, I feel comfortable in voting on this.
I kind of agree with a lot of what Dick said. I've driven many of the buses and most of the vans over the years, and I've never felt unsafe in any of the buses, but you have to replace them on a continuing basis, otherwise you get into that position where you just can't continue to make them safe. And if you forego buying one this year, then you're going to end up buying three a year from now or 2 years from now, and you're really not ahead. The vans, some of the vans that we have in the fleet are almost, been there almost as long as I've been teaching at Marysville, which is a long time, and so those need to get replaced also. And then on the eco-friendly bus, I really laugh at this one, because we were an all-propane bus district when I came here. It was a major challenge to buy gas, especially if you were on a field trip, try to find somebody that could provide propane for you, especially if you're out in southeastern Ohio. It was quite an experience. Then the state came out and said, well, I guess I have to back up a minute. You had to buy a gasoline bus in order to have a propane bus. And you drive the gasoline bus for a few thousand miles and rip the fuel tank out, put a propane tank in it, and convert it to a propane bus. And that's how we managed to do that. Well, then the state of Ohio said there will be no more gasoline buses because they don't meet the mileage requirements. And so all buses are diesel. So now we're out of the propane business. And now guess what they're pushing again? Propane buses, which will be come from the factory designed as propane buses. And also, I've had the opportunity to see an electric bus. I'm not sure I'm sold on that yet. I don't know if that helps any of your concerns or not, but I feel very comfortable in voting for this resolution. So.
Thank you for those comments. Any other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Comments from board members. Start with you, Mr. Smith.
I know that we've had some events that have happened in the school district this week and last week that involved student safety and the teachers, staff, administrators acted in an extremely professional, caring, and appropriate manner. And I would like to acknowledge the training that has gone in to the responses, and just congratulate those teachers for a job well done. And I have great confidence that all our teachers are in a position to do exactly the same kinds of things that a handful of teachers were called on to do. So I feel very good about that. I want to thank Bunsoe for hosting us tonight. And we've had some athletic performances that have garnered awards. We've had music and dance performances that have garnered other awards. We're into the award season, and we have teams and individuals that are competing, and hopefully we'll have a lot of congratulations to pass out in the near future. So thank you.
Mr. Keck.
I think I said enough.
Ms. Savage.
Okay, I just want to call out a few activities, and I don't want to be redundant with things that have already been said, so I'll but they apply to, because I feel that thanks to Bunsold and thanks for all of our safety personnel, they did a wonderful job. Raymond did a family movie night, and February is Special Kindness Month, and they're doing a fundraiser to support Honor Flight, and I think that's a great activity. Northwoods did World Read Aloud Day, which I think is awesome. They streamed in people reading books from all over the world so that different classes could listen to these different speakers. Navin did a speaker pathway series and had professions such as HR recruiter, registered nurse, attorney, occupational therapist, and x-ray technician come in and talk about those professions with the Navin students. Mill Valley had a third and fourth graders working with the High Five React team, which is the team that won a national award in Washington, D.C. It's on building relationships within the within your school district. Edgewood, they welcomed Officer Nichols to the building, so that's their permanent SRO, I believe, right? Creekview, 70 kids participated in Seussical, the musical. And they've started the Word of the Week vocabulary challenge activities, which vocabulary building is a great activity. Bunsold has a group of students working on a blanket project to support Ronald McDonald House. High school Monarch Market, the food pantry set up. That's all really student driven and student kind of organized, so it's a great community activity. ECHS, BPA competition, every IT student receives some level of prizing, and 9 will be going on to state level competition, so congratulations to them. Preschool started, very happy about that, and I had a chance to do a book talk at Early College High School and go in and share my love of reading and with a group of 25, 14, and 15-year-olds. Teachers are brave people. That's all I have. Thank you.
It's not as easy as some people think, is it? No. Okay. Mr. Ferguson.
I have my time.
You, Mr. Johnson.
Nothing to add.
Ms. Allen.
Yeah, I just want to remind you about March 2nd, and I would also add, Nan gave me a reminder that our FFA students actually will be presenting to City Council to talk about their food pantry at the high school at next Monday night. So we're excited to have them go. I'll be accompanying them to let them show off.
Excellent. That'll be great. I also wanted to just mention the Rotary Club made a comment at the Marysville Business Association meeting about a
speech contest for area high school students. So just if anybody's out there and has high school students, that speech contest will take place on March 29th at 6 p.m. and the registration deadline is March 27th at 3 p.m. You can get applications at either the library or through your school guidance department. And there are cash prizes and an opportunity to move advance to the districts on April 28th. And like all of these great accomplishments that people are talking about, you just can't keep up with them. Every time you turn around, there's something else to celebrate. You know, it just makes us proud to be Monarchs, but really it's wonderful to look at the faces of the students when you see them, you know, achieving some goals that they've set. I know Dick and I also attended board member 201, and I forgot to make any comments about that. Dick, did you want to share a highlight? Did you have a highlight ready to share?
Well, at these meetings, you always learn something, and there were a couple of things that I think you and I noted where we may need to, at the work session, look at some policy for how we operate as a board. There were some suggestions that were made, and but it was a good meeting. There weren't a lot in attendance at the meeting, and I think the school districts that didn't have representation there missed a good opportunity.
I agree. I know, like, just one of the things that I, as I was going through my notes, that you and I had talked about is, as we're designing our new space at the Chestnut Building, just the idea of, you know, being intentional about having maybe some places for some of the relevant policies to be displayed. If people come into meetings or something, talk about public participation policies or, you know, other things like that, and to make sure that we have our mission and vision, you know, really highlighted in that area. So that was just one thing that I wanted to mention. And then you talked about the Creekview musical and Brunsel musical. Shrek was last week, and that was unbelievably good and funny. And finally, I want to thank our tech department. We don't thank you often enough for all of the time that you and effort that you put into getting things set up for our meeting. So thank you very much. And with that, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Keck, second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes. Motion carries. We are adjourned at 7:22. Thank you.